And the present conference is on the humanity of Jesus Christ. We have been reflecting on the spirituality of Father Gerald. I have no doubt that spirituality cannot be understood without understanding the humanity of Christ. God became man, we believe, not only to redeem man by dying on the cross. God became man to show us how much he loves us. God became man indeed, that by his life, passion, and death, he might redeem us from our sins. But that is not the only reason that God became man. He became man to redeem us. But he also became man in order to prove to us by his human nature how much he loves us. Father Gerald saw priests as those who, like Mary, gave flesh to the Son of God. The Eucharist, Father Gerald would tell us, began in Mary. Only because of Mary do we have the Holy Eucharist. Father Gerald tells us, began in Mary. Except for Mary, there would be no incarnation. Except for the incarnation, there would be no redemption. Except for the redemption, there would be no continuing eternal priesthood of Christ. Christ not only was a priest when he died on the cross to merit our salvation, Christ remains a priest by communicating the graces of the cross. Without the priesthood of Christ, there would have been no priesthood of his apostles. Without the priesthood of the apostles, there would have been no priesthood of their successors. Without the priesthood of their successors, there would be no priesthood of bishops and priests. Without the priesthood of bishops and priests, there would be no Holy Eucharist, as Mass, as Holy Communion, as Real Presence. And it all began not only with Mary, by her fiat. It began in Mary, the moment God became incarnate in her womb. All of this was by way of prelude. I would like to cover in this very important conference five areas of a vast, mysterious subject. of the humanity of Jesus Christ. First, the Holy Eucharist is the humanity of the Son of God. Second, God is no man. Third, Christ now does on earth what he did in Palestine. Fourth, Jesus Christ is here. And fifth, power goes out from him. Necessarily, I will quote at some length from Father Gerald. First, reflection. The Eucharist is the humanity of the Son of God. God became man, not only that in his humanity he might die on the cross. God became man. It is impossible to emphasize by italics or capitalization or etching in bronze too strongly the verb remain. God became man to remain man. Christ therefore was God, become man in Palestine. Christ is God, who became man in the Holy Eucharist. When we reach heaven, if there are conferences and homilies in heaven, then we will say, and the Lord will be listening, God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, and God is now man in heaven, and Christ will smile. But until we get there, we repeat, God is man. Now, in the Holy Eucharist. Father Gerald never ceased repeating Christ's promise, "Behold, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world." Second reflection, picking up on the first, with a renewed emphasis on the present tense. God is now man. There is a temptation, and Father Gerald correctly emphasizes the temptation. In the spiritual life, to somehow think of Christ's humanity as merely, I repeat, merely a bridge to his divinity. Says Father Gerald, any tendency away from our blessed Lord's humanity . It is impossible, given that tendency, to consider as a movement into closer union either with Jesus or with His Heavenly Father or with the sweet Holy Spirit. You never separate. This is Father Gerald. You never separate, never, the humanity of Christ from His divinity. Of course the two are not the same. Of course the humanity of Christ is not His divinity. But the two are indissolubly, inevitably, irrevocably united. We might ask, why do some people think otherwise? Think of humanity as, well, a temporary road or path to God. Quote Father Gerald, we are too apt to think of Christ's humanity as a bridge over which one would try to pass into the Trinity, a sort of necessary convenience, so that once we cross over the bridge, we can dispense with a temporary roadway. But this concept, back to Father Gerald, this concept cannot stand, for Jesus has made His humanity not a bridge which serves a useful purpose, but once crossed is no longer needed. What we are dealing with here is indeed more subtle because mysterious, but more important than I believe many spiritual writers realize. Here was this insight years before I met the handmaids of the precious blood in Father Gerald, and maybe recognize a kindred spirit. Oh, he knows. Says Father Gerald, from the moment of the Incarnation, the Eternal Son will never be separated from His humanity. Indeed, even in His death on Calvary, body and soul were separated, yet both remained in unbroken union with His divinity. And thus His body in the tomb was as adorable as His soul in limbo. Our Catholic faith requires us to affirm that, I'm quoting Father Gerald, the Son of God has entered into this ineffable oneness with his humanity, and has, in pursuance of his decree of everlasting union, thereby lifted himself as man to the right hand of the Father and the bosom of the eternal Trinity. I'll quote more. Given this belief, how foolish we would be to think that either in time or eternity we would pass beyond the warm, loving heart of Christ into a more spiritual intimacy with God. There is no intimacy with God for man except through, and Father Gerald has the Latin, per, and with, and he adds the Latin cum, and no dwell in, and the Latin is the same, in Christ. There is no other way of becoming intimate with God except through, with, and in God, who is everlastingly, and now, not only God, but man, unquote Father Gerald. This is the heart, the epicenter of Father Gerald's spirituality. And I know enough theology to say, and it is the heart of Christian spirituality. Having said this, the priesthood, first of Jesus Christ, who is now man, takes on breathtaking significance. Because not only, to repeat but reemphasize, did, past tense, God become man so that by his humanity he might be able to sacrifice his living body and blood on the cross, and with his human will voluntarily offer himself to the Father on Calvary. But it is through, with, and in this humanity that God now exists in the plainest language. God is man. He is not all of humanity. God forbid, that would be blasphemy. But God is the man who he became the moment Mary gave him flesh. And it is toward this God-man that all our adoration, love, submission, and devotion are to be directed in this life and will be and joyed in the life to come. Part 3. Christ now does on earth what he did in Palestine. Notice what we are saying. It is not only to wake us up to the fact that the God whom we are to love with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with all our mind and strength, is God made man. But this God-man is now active. He's alive. He not only did things 1900 years ago, he is doing things right now. For Father Gerald. The principal consequence of this profound truth is that we now have God made man in the Blessed Sacrament as the object of our love of God. And it is that equation of our love of God directed because God became man. Our love of God now being directed to God made man and in our midst in the Holy Eucharist. On one occasion, Father Gerald, in self-reflection, said, "Some people must think I'm a fanatic." All right, so I am. I'm a fanatic lover of the Blessed Sacrament. But in my definition of fanaticism, a fanatic is one who totally gives himself to some object for which there is no basis in reality. I would define fanaticism as dedication to a dream. Oh, but given our faith, the Blessed Sacrament is no mirage. That adjective, real presence, means reality. Reality of what? Better, reality of whom? Reality of God become man, and this God-man is here. I will now indulge on a few, I hope not over lengthy quotations from Father Gerald. As one who has been working myself for over 20 years for the Holy See, I cannot tell you how realistic how prophetically wise was Father Gerald. First, regarding the letter, think of the big city parishes. I'm now quoting Father Gerald. Thousands of souls. How easy for the fervent pastor to arrange that the door of his church would never be locked, and that night and day the faithful would be there. Always there would be somebody with our Lord. I was once the curate of a little parish. Without any great difficulty, we arranged that there should be a parishioner from the end of Mass in the morning until the time of locking up in the evening with our Lord. The parishioners undertook to take 1 hour one day a week. And so we arranged that our Lord should never be alone. Is there anything more important than that? Unquote, Father Gerald. I asked our Lord to enlighten me, to make sure that what I'm going to say will be said wisely. There is a revolution going on in the United States, in case you haven't heard. A revolution. Contrary to what Father Gerald has just described. I know how hungry the laity are, dear God, how hungry they are for the real peasants. They are willing. I swear, they are willing to spend hours before our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. But, dear Jesus, we priests must have the faith to sustain the faith of the laity. And so far from doing anything to discourage them from spending these hours with our Lord, as Father Gerald pleaded, to encourage them, we go on. The same principle applies to religious communities. I check the dates. Over 30 years ago, Father Gerald said what I'm going to quote. Before what I quote began, the post-conciliar revolution. Father Gerald made some very shrewd, and I would say prophetic, observations. This long quotation will be worth it. All communities are crying for vocations. 1956. Since the end of the Second Vatican Council, vocations to women's religious communities have dropped by almost 90% in our country. Back to Father Gerald. How the vocations would flow in where there would be perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. How much stronger and finer and holier would be the vocations? Where can our teaching sisters secure the spiritual energy to carry on their difficult and physically exhausting work, except by a great love for the Master in His sacrament of love? If the novice were made to realize the reality of the Blessed Sacrament, then there would be fewer who would later fall away. Sisters would be happier because they would understand who it is that loves them. Speaking to religious women, I continue with Father Gerald. Dear sisters, love the Blessed Sacrament. It is the answer to everything in your lives. For a while, we may be in a place where everything is very agreeable. But what guarantee have we? Superiors change. We may have a superior who pleases us completely. But a little telegram from the mother house may change everything. We must not build our lives around things that can be so quickly changed and lost. Our health, our self, everything. What is the one unchanging thing that we can have in our religious life? Jesus Christ in the sacrament of His love. Unquote. What I've just read should be engraved on granite and be over the portals of every religious community, especially of religious women, for whom love is the center of their lives. But Father Gerald is not finished, and neither am I. I won't even apologize. This will be, as you can tell, a longer conference. The same goes for priests. Father Gerald insists that defections from the priesthood are mainly due to neglect of devotion to the Holy Eucharist. And I add, amen. Amen. Father Gerald goes further. I quote, "If a priest does not love the Blessed Sacrament today, he will lose his soul or be saved only by the tremendous mercy of God and the prayers of our Blessed Mother." Then, speaking of both vocations, to the religious life and the priesthood, says Father Gerald, "No wonder souls lose courage. No wonder priests and sisters fall away and turn back, seeking earthly love. They have not realized that divine love is so close to them." Unquote. Father Gerald Fitzgerald. I cannot tell you the deep interior joy it gives me to quote these words from a kindred spirit. Number 4, Jesus Christ is here. But Jesus Christ not only is here, he is not only continuing to do what he did in Palestine, but Jesus Christ now, what verb shall we use? Emanates? That's weak. Confers? That too is weak. Pours out power from his Eucharistic presence on earth today. Although the Catholic Church had always believed this, it was left to our present Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, to make sure in lapidarian terms clear how the Holy Eucharist is indeed a sacrament, whereby sacrament we mean some visible entity that Christ instituted. Which visible thing, visible reality, is the fountain of grace? The Holy Eucharist, says the Holy Father, is a sacrament, as the fountain of grace three times over. It is a sacrament as sacrifice. It is a sacrament as communion. And it is a sacrament as presence. All the great spiritual masters over the centuries, though they had a broad vision of the Catholic faith, concentrated on some one spectrum line in the panorama of Christian revelation and concentrated on that. St. Francis on poverty. St. Ignatius on obedience. Father Gerald on the Eucharist as a sacrament by Christ's presence without obscuring the Mass as a sacrament, or Holy Communion as a sacrament. Father Gerald's emphasis was on the Eucharist as presence sacrament. Just because, and I weaken the meaning by using the words, since Jesus Christ is now on earth in his humanity, the grace comes from Christ as God, but watch the preposition, but through Christ as man. And it is this God-man with us, among us, in our midst, present in the Blessed Sacrament, which makes it a sacrament. In other words, Christ as man now on earth is present with the fullness of his divine power. Oh, but this is everything that Christ requires of us, and that's the condition for tapping omnipotence. The power is here because Christ is God. The means for communicating that power is here because Christ is here as man. But the condition for releasing that power is our faith. Reread. I made bold to recommend memorize the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. It's all about two things, all about faith and all about the Eucharist. I will forbear developing the implications of what we've just put before us. Why are we, dear Jesus, why are we such weak, stupid, helpless, frail human beings? Why? So that, conscious of our stupidity and weakness, conscious of our own utter helplessness, but enlightened by faith and realizing who is here on earth available with his power, we might, believing in him, obtaining what we so pathetically, constantly, desperately need. aware of our need and believing in His power available in the Eucharist. We will come to Him and assure us there is a God in heaven and there is a Jesus Christ on earth. He will give us everything we need, and let me add, and more than we want, provided we believe. Lord Jesus, we believe You are our God who became man. We believe You, our God, become man, are with us in the Holy Eucharist. Open the eyes of our mind. Deepen our faith in Your real presence, so that realizing the reality of the real presence, He might experience the power that You as God have available for us always. Strengthened by Your omnipotence now on earth, we hope to enjoy You, Jesus, our God and man, in the everlasting Eucharist unveiled. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.